chapter 58. And while you're turning there, you'll see up here church security, sign up today. There's a clipboard right here that we're going to start sending around. If you can take it and send it back there, and when you're done with it, just pass it back till it makes it all the way around. If you can help, start over there. If you can help with church security, you don't have to have your CHL. We're going to talk about a way that you can possibly get that. But we just need men that are willing to help, okay? We need people to stand guard at the services. We have somebody currently right now doing that. But we need people, because with all the stuff that's been happening and all these shootings and stuff like that, we want to do due diligence to make sure that we have somebody in between the door and the congregation, right? And we're men, so we want to step up and be that person, and that opportunity is there for that. So we're going to have a little bit of training. We're going to develop a plan, and then we're going to brief the churches on what the plan is, right? As of right now, in the foyer, there's active shooter posters. There's active shooter posters in all of the classrooms, and it tells you what to do. And until we get to the training, it's really three things. ADD. I have ADD. Okay, so can anyone remember ADD? Avoid. So if somebody comes in here, you want to get away from them, right? Know your exits, keeping in mind that the closest exit may be behind you, right? Deny and defend. So avoid, get away from them. Get somewhere where he can't be, deny him access to that area. And as a last resort, defend yourself, right? And so, but we want to have guys with CHLs and things placed strategically at the foyer and in the congregation, and want to have a plan, okay? Because we want to make sure when somebody comes in here, they don't get very far until they go to meet the Lord, right? And we want to be part of that process. Amen. And the reason is because, look, I believe that we are supposed to do our due diligence. And a lot of times it's just because people, they just let random people walk in. They don't stop them. They don't ask them questions. So you need to know what to ask people and stuff like that. So please, if you're a man and you can help, sign up. Now you think about that Sutherland Springs shooting, right? The men that could have done something about it were sitting at home, right? And thank the Lord there was a guy that had a weapon and that neutralized him, and it didn't happen more places, right? But if they would have had the proper security, and I'm not blaming anyone, but we want to have that, right? And it's a terrible, tragic thing. So we want to do due diligence about that. So if you can help, you're interested in that, please, by all means, sign up and help us with that. Isaiah chapter 58, and cry aloud. Spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and shew my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice and take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest not knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and for debate, to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day unto the Lord? Verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer, and thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they shall be of thee, shall build the old waste places. And thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the past to dwell in. Brother Mark, can you ask the blessing on the sermon and the congregation this morning for the Lord's presence?
Thank you, Father in heaven, for your presence here. I'm glad we're able to gather here freely, Lord, and I know that some of us have a long week. It's a busy month, God, but you want to speak to us now. Now is the time that we slow down, we pause, we wait, we be still, and know that you are God, and I pray that we would listen intently and deliberately to the message, God. Lord, we have so many needs. We were never meant to live this life on our own, and as we come together, Lord, when we strive to live a good life, we need you, God. We need you in every aspect of our lives, Lord, more than wisdom, more than finances, more than the next house or the car, Lord. We need you. And as we listen to this message on fasting, God, let us search for you. Let us seek you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. How many of you love food? Praise the Lord. We're Baptists. That's one of our distinctive, right? I think that I love food more than anybody in here. I think that I figured something out about life. You can either be happy or you can be skinny, but you cannot be both. That's just the way it is. Listen, I love food. I don't use tobacco products. I don't drink alcohol. I don't even watch television. The only thing that I have is food. Food is the best drug that there is. You know, food has always been there for me, no matter what is going on in life. Listen, I can have the worst day preaching. I can bomb the sermon. Every kabun can be against me. People can leave the church. My family can be mad at me, and my dog try to bite me when I get home. But food, it's always been there. I went to Peter El Norte the other day, and they have green enchiladas covered with sour cream, and man, it just comforts me. Native wings, they have, oh man, they have some good wings, and they comfort me. And green curry chicken, I love the Thai food, and rice, and I love eating more than anything in the world. I love eating so much that I will not drink calories just so I can eat more calories. I won't even drink soda. You people out there, you're like, oh, I can't give up my Big Red. You can trade your Big Red out for like two tacos. And you know what I do? I love food. There's nothing I'd rather do. It's always been there for me. You know, there's two things that have been there for me, food and the sidewalk. The sidewalk has kept me off the streets, but food has made me happy. Anyway, I love food. And you know what? As I get older, you know, I'm excited about heaven because I think about Jesus and his glorified body. You know what Jesus did? He came and he cooked his disciples food and ate it. And the Bible talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And when I go up and I'm seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb, for the first time in my life, I can eat without worrying about the consequences of what I'm eating. Isn't that a blessing? Why would God put that there just for our enjoyment? You know, I'm getting older, 35, my metabolism has slowed down. And you know what happened is this year I haven't eaten anything. I've been watching and I've been fighting and I've been exercising. I said, I will not. And you know what happened? I put on 10 pounds no matter how much I fought it. And I hate exercising. I've been doing all that stuff and things like that. And they say the camera adds 10 pounds. My mother-in-law, she's probably watching now or will later, and she says, hey, are you gaining weight, you know? And she said, I said, no, it's the camera. It's adding 10 pounds. She said, you're about to be kicked off of YouTube, you know, and all this stuff. But I try to watch, because no one wants to hear a fat preacher tell them about self-control. And tonight, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have ham. Praise the Lord. We're going to have turkey. We're going to have tamales. And we're going to have all kinds of food tonight for our Christmas dinner. And I'm really looking forward to that. And so, in light of that, I would like to preach on fasting. Now, I want to preach about fasting the Bible way. Because you know what people say? Are you crazy? You know, I've preached on the street. I've knocked on people's doors. I told them I went to church every time the doors were open. I've witnessed to them, and nobody has ever been shocked and dismayed at those things, really. But once somebody finds out that you're fasting, they flip, man. Are you okay? Is that even legal? Can you really not? Are you going to live? Is this okay? You know, I really worry about you. This can't be okay for you. Something's gone wrong. You're taking this thing too serious. Here's a cheeseburger. And you know, they don't even understand anything about it and that it's actually healthy to fast and all these things about the Bible says about it. Because the church has not talked about fasting at all. They don't teach about it anymore because it's not very fun to do and things like that. But the Bible says, it does not say if you fast, right? It says when you fast. So it's biblical. But it says don't be like the heathens do, because they think they're going to be heard for their much speaking, and they disfigure their faces, and they mope around, and they say, what's wrong with you? Oh, I'm fasting. It's been 3 hours. So hungry. Right? And so when you preach on fasting, people are like, why are you even preaching on it? If you're going to fast, you shouldn't even tell anybody about it because it convicts them and they don't like hearing about it because they're not going to do it. Keep it to yourself. It says that not to do it. Don't let your right hand let. No. In the Bible, there were all kinds of time where they proclaimed a fast, right? And they came together as a group of people to fast for something that God wanted or they needed from the Lord, right? Now, this is not our appeal to the lost world. This is the church. This is Christian, saved, born-again people that we're talking to. And we're not talking about it to try to appear spiritual, but we're talking about it. Now, there's a right reason to fast and there's a wrong reason to fast. In this passage we just read in the first few verses, they are complaining to God and they said, you know what, Lord, we fasted and you didn't pay any attention. We've afflicted our... Fasting is afflicting yourself. We've afflicted ourselves and you haven't heard. Why aren't you answering? Why aren't you hearing? And the reason they weren't hearing and God wasn't hearing is because they were fasting for the wrong reasons. They weren't going on a biblical fast. They were going on a selfish fast for selfish reasons. So we want to talk about the Bible reason to fast. Why were they fasting? The wrong reason to fast. It says, thou takest no knowledge. In verse 3, it says, they take delight in approaching to God. Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure. You see, the purpose of fasting is to remove yourself from the pleasures and distractions of life and separate yourself to God and put a priority on your relationship with God. And you know what they were doing? They weren't eating, but to distract themselves from eating, they were just watching, binge-watching Netflix. Right? They were just getting on their phones and passing the time away on Facebook and Pinterest looking at pictures of food. You exact pleasure. He said, that's not why you do it. You're not supposed to do it. They were doing it for strife and debate. You see that in verse 3? You do it for strife in verse 4 and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. They were doing it for notoriety, to seem spiritual, and strife and debate. And they were exacting labor, making sure they were getting everything that was due them while they were asking for more. They were trying to curse people, smite with the fist of wickedness. They were doing it for the same reason people go and see the witch doctor and buy a chicken leg and try to put a curse on someone and for strife and debate. And I'm sad to say that I've fasted for that reason before. Oh, you're going to come against me, are you? Well, I'll just show you. I'll fast and then God will get you. Now, it is biblical to fast for your enemies, David did, but he fasted for their repentance, for their return, for their well-being. He did not fast to smite them and destroy them, right? And so these are all wrong reasons that they were doing it, but what is a good reason? What's a biblical reason for a fast? Look here in verse 4. It says, behold, ye fast for strife and debate, to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day to what? To make your voice heard on high. Now, right or wrong, the reason they were fasting was to try to get their voice to be heard on high. Have you ever prayed and it just didn't seem like anything was happening? You ever prayed and it just seemed like your prayer was in vain and it seemed like God was not listening? I don't know if you've been there, but I've been there. I've been there sometimes, it seems like for years at a time, where I'm asking God and I'm begging God and I'm saying, Lord, would you please hear me on this? And it seems like there's nothing there. And the reason that we fast is to get our voice heard on high. Now, God hears everything, right? But fasting is like when you put a megaphone to your prayer. It's like when you take a highlighter and you highlight your prayer and you know that God is paying attention to what you're praying. You know why you do it? You do it when you're in a time of desperation. And you're reaching out to God and you're praying to God. It's a good time to pray when you're desperate. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Take your Bible and turn to Jonah, the book of Jonah, and look at chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 4. And now, Jonah is a preacher that God called to give warning to a people that were on God's radar that he was about to destroy. Right? And Jonah enters into the city in verse 4, and a day's journey, and he cried, yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be overthrown. And then look what the people do in verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest even to the least of them. In verse 7, and the king caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and of the nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Verse 8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. In verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he saw that he would do unto them, and he did it not. You see, they were in a place of desperation. Imagine you heard somebody say, listen, there's no insurance, and you cannot get insurance on your house, and there's a fire coming, and it's going to burn this whole city down, and all of your possessions, and all of your houses, and all of your family's houses, and everything that you know and you've worked for your whole life, God is going to come destroy it, and he's going to kill you. You know what I would do in a carnal state? I would get my backpack, and I would get out of Dodge. I would leave. But you know what they did? They were in a place of desperation. Where could a city with all these millions of people go? And they proclaimed a fast. And everyone in the city fasted. They stopped eating, and they started crying out to God. And guess what? God heard them. They were in a place of desperation. Esther did the same thing. She said, we're all going to be destroyed. And if I go talk to the king, that's not according to the law, that he could just kill me. She said, tell everybody not to eat or drink for 3 days and just pray that God would do something. I don't know if you've ever been there, a place of desperation. Lord, I need you. I'm desperate. There's things in my life that I need help with, and I'm not looking for a check. I'm not looking for some man to do something. There's nothing I could do. Yeah, I've been in situations where people say, why don't you do this, and why don't you do this? And I literally did everything that I could do, everything that I studied to do, everything that I knew that the Bible said. I tried everything, and my back was against the wall. And I said, if God doesn't do something, there's nothing that can be done. Why do you fast? Because you want your voice to be heard on high, and you say, Lord, I need you. I need you to hear me. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12 in verse 15. And here you'll find where Nathan the prophet comes to David after he committed adultery and he committed murder. And then from that adulterous relationship, he had a child with Bathsheba. And the preacher comes to tell him here in verse 15 that he was doing wrong. And when the preacher left, look what happened in verse 15. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto him, and it was very sick. Right? Now David deserves this because of his sin and because of his wickedness. But what did David do? What was his response? Look at verse 16. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. Verse 17, they tried to get him to raise and eat bread with him, but he wouldn't. Look at verse 18. And it came to pass on the what? Seventh day. And they didn't fear to tell him what happened. And you know what? They finally tell him what happened. In verse 20, David arises from the earth, washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, came into the house of the Lord, worshiped, and he went to his house, and they set bread before him, and he did eat. Now, you know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of desperation. That's a picture of desperation. My child, the baby, is sick, and he's going to die. Why didn't God just kill it? Like that. 7 days. And you know what David did in that time of desperation? He stopped eating. And he went and lay upon the earth. And he cried out to God in desperation. And real Christianity is when you are dependent on God. entirely. And you're desperate of God. And whether God answers in the affirmative or in the negative, you still go into the house and worship God. You see, fasting is not about getting what you want and proclaiming and procuring the promises of God, but it's about total dependence on God and desperation to have your voice heard on high. And in the Bible, over and over, you find people that are in situations of desperation. And you know what their answer is they fast and they get with the Lord. How many of you have heard of the television show called The Sharks? I'm not going to judge you for watching TV, okay? How many of you heard of The Sharks? No one? Not a single person in here is. Everybody, hey. So, hallelujah, what this show is people, they get all these business ideas, right? Shark Tank, okay. Thank you for that, brother. The Shark Tank. Oh, I guess that makes a big difference, right? But they get all these business ideas, and this show shows them before they go in, and they're like, oh, yeah, man, I just can't wait to get in this audience with these guys, and you know, this might be the real breaker, the big thing that comes for me. It's going to change my life. And they're in there nervous, and they're rehearsing their lines, and they go out there, and these guys say, I'll give you $1 million for 10% of your business or all that. And they think that that little time that they have with these men, it could change their life. And it could, right? But you know what's more important than that? Is you can have an audience with the Lord. And God can do anything. He can do anything. He can work miracles in your life. There's another show where the voice and people come and they start yapping and singing, and then if the heathens like what they're hearing, they push a button and turn around and they're like, you know what fasting is? It's what gives the God of the universe to hit the button and turn around and give you audience and pay attention to what you're saying. You say, I don't believe what you're saying. Okay, turn to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Listen, we want to have our voice heard on high. We want God to hear our voice. Daniel chapter 10, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Verse 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. 21 days. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine into my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And look at verse 5. Somebody comes, an angel comes to talk to him, and look at verse 12. And he said unto me, fear not, Daniel. From the first day thou didst set thy heart to understand and chasten thyself before God, what happened? And I am come for thy words. I don't know about you, but I have some prayer requests that I need to know that the Lord hears. And I'm not just a speck on this planet among billions of people. But I know that He knows my name and my prayers are being revealed in heaven. What could be more important than that? Food? Look at verse 5. Back in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 5. So why? What's a biblical reason to fast? To write this down under the first point, to get your name heard on high or get your prayers heard on high, your voice heard on high. And then look at this in verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness? Do you have a problem with sin? Is there a certain sin that just keeps popping up and it keeps getting you and it keeps coming back and you've been bound by it? And it gets you and gets you and gets you, and you put it down and it pops back up. And life would be okay if it wasn't for this sin. My first pastor name was Michael Pearl. And he said this, and I never forgot it. He said, when I was a teenager, I had a problem with lust. And he said, what I did to take care of that problem was every time it came up, I fasted until the problem went away. And the Lord says that the fast that He chooses, a biblical fast, is to loose the bands of wickedness. There's nothing like fasting to teach the flesh it's not the boss. There's nothing like fasting that will help you to discern the difference between the flesh and the spirit. Brother Fisher said that he does not struggle with sins of the flesh when he's starving the flesh. And you know, if you're single and you struggle with sins of the flesh, after a couple days of fasting, even as a single man, you will not even be aware that the opposite sex exists. You won't. You'll be driving down the road and you'll be like, Subway? I never knew there was a Subway there. How have I gone this way all the time in Subway the whole time? Look, there's Jimmy John's. Man, that lady makes the best donuts. You'll wake up in the night and you'll be dreaming about a cheeseburger in paradise. But you won't have problems with the sins of the flesh. I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You weaken yourself so your dependence is on God. Are you addicted to sin? Is it worth fasting about it to get free? Maybe you have a spouse that's always angry. Is it worth fasting about it to get some help? Maybe you have a child that's an alcoholic. Is it worth fasting about it to see God deliver them? What is fasting? It's asking God differently to loose the bands of wickedness. What else? Not only to get your voice heard on high, to loose the bands of wickedness. Look back in verse 6. To undo the heavy burden. There's nothing like a little bit of fasting that will help with depression. Because it helps you become more spiritual, and relying on God is the opposite of depression. You know, when you're depressed, you're focused on yourself and you just don't feel well. Fasting is not feeling well on purpose. It's afflicting yourself. That's what the Bible says. Over and over when it's talking about of fasting. It's chastening yourself. Right? That's what it is. And that will help with depression. It'll help with those things because that is where you get the focus off of yourself and off of your flesh and how you feel, and the focus goes on God. Are you depressed? Let me ask you, Mom, are you under a heavy burden? Over and over the same thing, and you wash the same clothes and it's the same routine and it never, ever, ever stops, and you think you're going to go crazy? Well, maybe to undo that heavy burden is a biblical reason to fast. Give the Lord your burden. Come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look at this. It says, to let the oppressed go free. Look at verse 6. And break the yoke. The Bible says in Mark chapter 9 and verse 29, this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. And I don't want to get spooky on you, but there's times in life when you're in a battle that is not against flesh and blood. I was at the gas station the other day and a guy came up and asked me for a quarter. And I rarely ever do this, but I gave him a quarter. And I said, hey, let me give you a tract and give you something to read. And he picked up the tract and he started crying. He had his vehicle there. I don't even know what he needed a quarter for. But he picked up the track and he started crying and he said, "You know what? I just told my mother that I feel like something is after me and it's dragging me down to hell." And I said, "You're right." And I said, "You can ignore it and let it go on and drag you all the way down, or you can get born again and you can come to God. And you know what the Lord will do? He'll give you protection against this thing that is oppressing you. And that protection can't be found in anything else but the blood of Jesus Christ and salvation. And you cannot be protected unless you're saved." And you know what? The devil is out to destroy our church. He's out to destroy me. He's out to destroy you. He's out to destroy your Christian life and render you ineffective. And I absolutely believe that the only reason I don't deserve to be standing here, and I only believe that the reason that this church is still here, and I'm still the pastor of this church, is because God fought for us through prayer and fasting. And I've been in a place where I've been scared to death, and I knew my family was affected by something spiritual. And I said to Brother Ashton, I said, "I got to get the help of God. Because if God doesn't help me, nothing is going to help me through this. This is going to destroy me." And got my friend Roe, and we went on a fast for a week. And Brother Ashton and I walked around this church three times a day and asked God to wash it in the blood and protect it. We walked around my house three times a day. We walked around the parking lot. We prayed over the kids three times a day. And you know what God did? He broke that spiritual oppression and He set it free. And you know what? I'll tell you this, that as far as the evil forces go, fasting is like an atomic bomb in the spiritual realm. It protects. It gives you a hedge. It brings back the territory that you've given to the devil. And then look at verse 7. "Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry?" You know what another biblical reason to fast is? It's for provision. Hannah fasted for a child. Eleazar would not eat until he procured a wife for Isaac in Genesis chapter 24. And June 12, 1873, there were some farmers in Minnesota, and they saw something to this time they haven't seen heretofore. And there was a great thing that came across the field, and it looked like a cloud. And it landed on the short corn and the wheat. And 2 hours later, all the corn and all the wheat was gone. Because it was a plague of locusts, like the Bible said. And the next year they came back stronger. And the next year they came back stronger. They did everything they could to try to destroy these locusts. They tried to plow the ground up in the winter to destroy the eggs. They let chickens and guinea hens go loose on the farm. They would burn the fields. They plow it up in the snow. They dug ditches around their fields and filled them with pitch and oil, and when the locusts would come back, they would light it on fire and burn, and thinking the smoke would drive it away. They made tar contraptions that they drug through the field, and the grasshoppers would stick to it, and then they would go and burn it off, and they would do everything they could to get rid of these things. And every year they came back more and more and bigger and bigger. The last year that they came back, they destroyed 500,000 acres of corn and wheat and all the crops that they had. And the new governor, Pillsbury, came on, and April 26, 1877, he said, "You know what we're going to do? We're going to declare this a day of prayer and fasting." And Christians that were starving in a famine all across Minnesota, you can look this up in history, all across Minnesota, they had famine, they're starving and all this stuff. And you know what all those Christians did? They got together and they fasted and prayed that God would deliver them from the plague of the locusts. The next day, April 27th, it warmed up drastically. And all the locusts started hatching. And all the scoffers and the atheists were like, ha ha, you stupid Christians, you're fasting and praying. And now look, they're here earlier than ever. They're here at even a more critical time. They're going to destroy the plants while they're young. The next day it warmed up more and more, and pretty soon there's thousands and millions of these little grasshoppers. You know what happened on the fourth day? It froze and killed them all. And for 20 years, they didn't find another plague of locusts in Minnesota. Let me ask you, is there something you need? A wife? You need somebody saved? There's two ladies that are in our church that are here as a direct result of fasting, God answering prayer. There's people, and you might not know who you are. You're sitting in the church, and you're born again, and you're saved, and there's people in this church that fasted for 10 days for your salvation. You got saved. What do you need? Michelle, you know, it's a miracle that she's here. And I don't know, but Brother Fisher, and the reason I talk about him a lot is because he's the one that kind of taught me how to start fasting and preached about it, and they teach a lot about it in his church. But he was fasting one time for 40 days, and their church was growing, and they needed a new building. And he said he went into this little church, and he found this bigger building that would accommodate them. And he said he walked there for every day for 40 days, and he'd walk around this building. He'd walk in the inside. He asked the secretary if he could just go walk and spend time with the Lord. He'd come to the altar and pray and walk around the building, 40 days later, God said, no, that's not the building. And he said, 40 days? No? And not too much longer after that, somebody called them and they said, we want your church to come and buy this facility, and we want you guys to use this church to build there. And it was a humongous place. And they said, we don't have any money. And so then they called back. And he said, we don't have any money. And they called back. They said, we know you don't have any money. You can make payments. You can come. And they worked out this really sweet deal. And the church was the old church that John Maxwell pastored, the leadership guy. Huge facilities. I've been out there. And you know what that other place was? It wasn't big enough for what God wanted. But the church got together and fasted, and they saw God. Listen, I don't know about you, but I want to see God do something here in San Antonio. I want to see God do something with your lives. I want to see you on fire serving God, seeing your family grow up serving God. I want to see you reaching your community, reaching your neighbors, seeing them born again. And I want a fire to be burning here that changes San Antonio. That's what I want for this church. That's what I believe God wants for this church. But it's not going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen without some sacrifice and some fasting and some praying. I want to see God send in the money to pour the concrete so we can put Master's Club over there. I would like to see the money come in to see Brother Ashton come on full time. And you know, I would like to see all these things. And I know you have things you want to see. And I know you, even more than that, I know you have personal needs in your life and your family. You have needs where you need God to provide. Have you ever thought, instead of just wanting or buying lottery tickets, to do some fasting and asking God? We're almost done. The biblical reasons for fasting, the results of fasting, look at verses 8 and 9. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Now look at verse 9. Then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Now look at verse 8, the glory of the Lord, in the last part of verse 8, shall be thy reward. You know what a promised result of fasting is God will answer. Excuse me. God will answer. And He may say no, but the Lord's no leads you to the right yes. The glory... You know what is the crazy thing about fasting and prayer that blows my mind? It's a lot of times when God answers the prayer, you don't even realize it. You don't even realize it. I last year when we were fasting, I kept the email that has everyone's prayer request on it, right? And there's people that have never even fasted before and they were new to it and just trying it. And Brother Racho and Courtney, Miss Courtney, were one of those. And their prayer request was that the Lord would give them a child. And so for 10 days we fasted and we prayed that God would give them a child. And then come forward several months into the future of that, somebody tells me, hey, Brother Racho and his wife, they're pregnant, they're going to have a child. And my only thought was, oh, cool, I hope they don't invite me to the baby shower. That was my only thought. I'm glad I am a man and I don't have to go to baby showers. That was literally my only thought. And then I'm reviewing that and I said, man, what? That was a direct result as an answer to prayer. Nothing will encourage you more like keeping a prayer request list and reviewing it. When Michelle walked in, my first thought was, well, she's kind of tall. And then my second thought is, why is this lady at a church downtown? This doesn't make any sense. And my third thought is, well, either God sent her or the devil sent her. I just got to find out who it was. And then we get to know each other. And then I'm looking back, and I said, wow, that's a miracle. That is an answer to prayer. And at the point of receiving it, I didn't even recognize it. And you know what it makes me want to do? Send out some more prayer requests. Because it sure is fun to receive. But you know what's even more fun than receiving? Receiving as a result of answering to prayer. And you know what's the best thing? It's not selfish. It's the glory of God will be thy reward. It's not God gives you at His expense. He gives you and He's glorified. Many of you have heard about the sermon, one of the most famous sermons ever preached in America, Enfield, Connecticut, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. You've heard that sermon. And when Jonathan Edwards got up and preached that, it said that he held his notes this close to his face, and he just droned on and on in a monotone voice. And one guy stood up out of the pew, and he ran to the altar, and he said, oh, Mr. Edwards, have mercy. They're grabbing the back of the pews and the church pillars, and they're saying, we're going to fall into the lake of fire. They literally thought judgment day had dawned, and God was pronouncing His verdict against them, and they were going to go to hell that very second. And what you do not know, most people do not know about that sermon, is that Jonathan Edwards, for 3 days before that, did not sleep and he did not eat. And he was on his face, and everybody that passed him said, for 3 days he was crying out, God, give me New England. Lord, give me New England. And he was praying that they would repent, and that sparked that great awakening. You know what? Praise the Lord, His glory will do, but you promised an answer. And then the last thing I want to say is the biblical results of a fast. Rewards of fasting. Look at verse 58 and verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. Isn't that a blessing? Go witness to Him. Hey, sir, would you like to... Man, you know what? I was just thinking about this right now. I was at HEB the other day, and the guy's there, and I said, praise the Lord, good morning, how are you doing? He said, good. I said, are you a Christian? He said, ish. I said, well, heaven or hell isn't ish. And he said, I'm lost. I need direction. Able to witness to him, right? The result of fasting is God will guide you. You know, I want what we put our energies in as a church to be God's program and not my program. I want to be guided by God. Wouldn't it be a blessing to be guided by God, what job to take, who to marry, how to deal with your problems, how to raise your kids, how to lead your ministry, how to lead your family, what God wants you to be involved in? Wouldn't that be a blessing to see it come from God? And look what he says out there. He will guide thee and satisfy thy soul in drought. Oh man, fasting is horrible. It's terrible. Now I'm not, listen, it's the worst thing ever. But you know what God will do? He'll satisfy you. You'll find out that the words of thy mouth are more necessary than my food. He says he'll satisfy thy soul in drought and make thy bones fat, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and a spring of water whose waters fail not. All my life long, I had panted for a draught from some clear spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. With his blood, I now am saved. And you know what he'll do? He'll satisfy you in a way you've never been satisfied. Your Christian life, so much will come clear. Now, in closing, there's a sign-up thing on the back table there. And last year we had, I think, 8 people that finished with us. Okay? And we're going to start on January 1st and give the Lord the first part of the year. And this year, some of us are going to go 21 days on a fast. And I know that if you've never fasted, you don't want to try that. Okay? But you can go a day, you can go 3 days, you can go 7, you can go 10, maybe you can go 3 and then just give up solid food for the next 20 days or just eat vegetables. But however long you want to go, what you can do, I want you to sign up back there, put your number, and we'll get your prayer request like we did last year, and we'll, every one of us, we spend time praying. And if you saw what God did in that prayer request last year, you'd want to be in on it. And what are your reasons? You say, why should I do it? Make your voice heard on high. Let me ask you this in closing. What are you desperate about? What do you need God to change? Why don't you start asking him differently? Is it your marriage? Is there something that you need to see changed? To loose the bands of wickedness? Is there some sin in your life or your child's life or something that's been hindering you and you want to see change? Why don't you fast about it for a little while? What about a heavy burden? Maybe you're depressed or someone you know that's depressed and has a burden weighing you down, stealing your joy. Why don't you, instead of just being depressed, do something about it like God promised? To lift the heavy burdens. You have a reason? The reasons? The results, he'll answer you. And the rewards. He'll guide you. He'll be with you. He'll satisfy you in a way that food never could. If I can have the piano player come. And I want you to think about it. What does God want you to do? You can come to the